Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
So welcome to There Is Hope this evening. We're a live talk show, and we discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. If you or someone you know is struggling with an addiction, then I want you to know this show is for you. We want you to know there is hope. I want to get right to our guest and talk about our topic about sexual addiction. It's something that a lot of Christians don't want to talk about, and a lot of topics when it comes to addiction they don't want to talk about, but it's an important issue. And so I want to say we're very excited to have Dr. Janz. He's going to be on the air with us. And Dr. Janz is the founder of The Center. And The Center is a faith-based counseling center that practices the whole-person approach to counseling. Dr. Janz, thank you for being on the air.
Oh, yes. Good to be with you, Rich, always.
Go to his website. It's aplaceofhope.com. aplaceofhope.com. And you'll learn all about their whole-person approach to counseling. And I want to say that I really truly believe in The Center, and there's been lives that have been changed through The Center. And in fact, we had a member of Fairhaven House, that's our clean and sober housing that we have. Yes. We had a member who received intensive counseling at The Center. He was also on the TV show Intervention.
Oh, yes.
And he was getting treatment for alcohol addiction. And I want to say that he's doing good. And in spite of various challenges that come up in his life, Josh is doing great. He's doing fantastic. We've interviewed him on the show, and so I can say for sure that's one individual I know that's been touched by The Center. So, again, Dr. Janz, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, and boy, this is an important topic tonight.
It certainly is, and like I said, is it true that some don't like to talk about this topic of sexual addiction?
Well, it's one of those secret topics that we can kind of smile and say, yes, but you know, we don't want to be touched by it. Plus, we don't want to acknowledge that it really exists to the degree that it exists.
Yeah, and that's even within the church, right?
Well, I think maybe even particularly within the church. You know, we work a lot with folks who have struggled in secret, you know, Rich, with this for so long. It's secret pornography, masturbation, and where it's consuming their life. But there's so much shame and embarrassment. And, you know, you pray about it, and you say, oh, Lord, help me. But you feel like it just keeps coming back around the corner every time for you.
Yeah. And well, I think right off the bat we should talk about what's the difference between unhealthy or what I call unwise sexual behavior, because I think any sex outside of marriage is unhealthy.
Right.
And I think
right.
that pornography and those type of things, obviously, we'd say those are unhealthy. But there's a difference between somebody who maybe, you know, saw a porn site as a kid or found a dad's magazine and never did any more with it than someone who has actual what we would call sexual addiction. So how would you identify sexual addiction, or what would you say are the various types of sexual addiction?
Well, sexual addiction is a way for people to, Rich, as you're aware, to medicate their feelings, to numb out. It becomes their drug of choice. You know, the sexual behavior is their major, what we call, coping mechanism. And you know, it's secret usually, but it begins to consume their lives. And I think from a spiritual point of view, it's an area that the enemy really gets a stronghold, because it's progressive. You know, people eventually cannot believe what they end up doing and how far this carries them.
Yeah, our pastor at our church says a lot of times, sin always takes you further than you ever planned on going.
Yes.
And with sexual addiction, that is certainly the case. I mean, there's individuals that find them literally, you know, in jails and prisons because of the behavior, lose everything they have, their families, relationships, and everything. And they didn't plan it that way. You know, I was just going to look at a magazine, or, you know, I was just going to, you know, this girl looks really good, and I'd like to date her. And next thing you know, they get into an unhealthy sexualized relationship, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But then it goes further than that. And so what are some of the sexual addiction that you see, the various types of where you see that manifested, you know, internet porn, that type of thing? How do you see how that's manifested in individuals' lives?
Well, obviously there's fantasy. And one of the things that we'll see is a person usually early on has had some unhealthy sexual experience that's in essence, expose them to pornography. And what can happen is the accessibility, of course, obviously through the internet, but the accessibility of what I'll call the drug, your drug of choice, the pornography, is so easy to get. And, you know, for the sex addict, the internet's been described as crack cocaine. It's instant, it's available, and they can get it quick. And what happens, we know over time, just the way God made us, that our chemistry, our brain chemistry changes. You know, the sex addict brain, the chemistry changes. And we know that, so it's affecting us on a physiological level as well as, you know, it begins to erode away at all of our relationships. I mean, you can't have a healthy relationship with a spouse and have a secret life of pornography or sex addiction. I think the sex addict over time begins to get more and more risky in their behavior.
Now, I want to ask you about that because, you know, if you talked about addiction, most addicts will say that marijuana was one of those drugs that got them going into addiction. Now, everybody wants to say that's not true, but I work with addicts, you work with addicts, and it's amazing, those who are in recovery, how many of them are so negative against marijuana because they see it as a stepping stone.
Yes.
To other drugs. Now, what about an individual says, well, you know, it's just a little bit of pornography, and I'm never going to go further than that. Some can break that cycle, but the danger, I think, for now is we're not talking about when you and I were older gentlemen and we grew up and there was Playboy and it was just topless. They didn't have, you know, that's all you saw was breasts and that was it. To now, you can have girls say, come see me. You know, I know you probably get the emails. I get these emails. Come and see me. I'm online right now. And you can see anything and everything. And that image is in your mind to the day you die when you start playing around with that.
You know, that is the danger, the accessibility and what I'll call intrusion. It's kind of like, you know, you get an email and it's the intrusion of it and the aggressiveness of the marketers and the pornography people. Because the goal is to get you hooked. I mean, that is the goal.
Right, right. So,
yes. The sex addict, a lot of times, too, this becomes like any other drug. They will go to great, great lengths in order to get their hook, or to get their fix, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, the even habitual masturbation, where it is, not only chronic, but they keep looking for the next high. And pornography, a person's never satisfied. You see one picture, that doesn't work. You keep going. There's a nature of it that is never satisfying.
Well, it's never satisfying, and I was just thinking as you're talking about it, there's been the, I think it's called 48 Hours, was the show where they show the child pornography or child molesters or whatever, I forget what you call it, but they're, you know, they're looking for young girls and stuff,
yeah.
And they set them up, and how they repeat it. They get caught, they get caught, they get busted, and they have set those same individuals up, and there's a second and a third time that they're caught all over again.
And they keep doing it and doing it, which you go, I can't believe they're doing it. Well, that's the power of the addiction. That's the stronghold that this gets in a person's life. And, you know, it may sound like we're talking mainly about men, but let me just toss this out for just there. This is an increase in women in these behaviors as well.
And you think that part of that is the internet?
I think it is. I think as well what we'll call the sexualization of girls earlier and younger and younger ages, you know, growing up. They tend to, you know, a 14-year-old looks like a 20-year-old now.
Right, right, right.
Sexualization. And so they are, as though our society has groomed young girls for sexual acting out.
Well, what I want to do, you brought that up, and I was going to talk about it a little later, but I'm going to bring it up now because in your book, Too Close to the Flame, great book. It's an excellent book on sexualized relationships, not so much on sexual addiction itself, but it's on sexualized relationships, which I believe sexualized relationships can lead to sexual addiction.
Yes.
There's a statement that you made in the very first chapters, the very first paragraph. It's titled Tinderbox We Live In Today. And there's something you say that I think kind of explains why women get involved in it and younger people. And here's the quote from your book. It says, "Our culture is aflame with sex. Sex is practiced openly, talked about freely, engaged in creatively, and flaunted shamelessly. Cultural stigma that once kept sex within definable boundaries have been debunked by the gurus of this age.
Yes.
Few people seem to know the rules of sexual behavior. That's pretty much what you're talking about, was what's going on and why we see so much of the sexual addiction happening, isn't it?
Exactly, right there. And our culture is aflame with it. You know, it's kind of like you drive down and there's a billboard and you didn't ask to see it. You're at the magazine right there.
Dr. Jans, we're losing you. We're going to have to go to break and have you call back in. We're starting to lose you.
Got it.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dober.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about addiction and recovery. My name is Richard Dover. I'm your host, and I'm talking to Dr. Jans from the Center, and we are specifically talking about sexual addiction. Just before the break, Dr. Jans' phone was cracking up a little bit. I think we're better now. How are we doing now?
Oh, I hope it's better now.
Yeah, there we go. We're better now. And you just was talking about you know, our culture. Our culture actually helps to feed into the whole sexual addiction realm. And you mentioned that that more and more is happening with women. One of the other questions I had for you is, how young of individual have you seen that you would say they're a sex addict? Not just struggling with pornography, but you would classify them as a sex addict as a counselor.
Well, we're having more, I would say, in the 15-year-old range. That's probably maybe 14 was the earliest or youngest we've worked with, where I would say they were spending excessive, they were definitely addicts, excessive amount of time, online pornography, masturbation, consumed, where they were failing in school, and this was in control of their life.
And how old have you treated individuals?
Probably the 14-year-old.
I mean, how old is far?
Oh, how old? Yeah. How old? Ooh, that's a good question. I'd say well into the 60s.
Well into the 60s of
yeah,
dealing with it.
Yeah.
And so the only reason I want to do that, that means then the individuals between that age, there's still hope, there's still a way out, there is treatment available, there's help available for whatever age, whatever sex an individual is, there is an answer for them.
There is, and I think that one of the biggest things, because to recover as a sexual addict requires a level of accountability that you must submit yourself to that is incredible. It's a total redesign of your life. It's a redesign of your thought life. It's a redesign of your brain chemistry. And I think it is one of the most difficult. I think there's a spiritual battlefield.
Yes, yes. Since you said that, I want to hit that because, you know, I've worked with individuals with, you know, just like you, with alcohol, drug addicts, and I think they're spiritual and all of that.
Yeah.
But there is, you know, I was going to say individuals that have sexual addiction normally have other addictions. There's normally something else going on there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's guilt and shame, so they go to alcohol or drugs to get rid of the guilt and the shame. And, of course, now they just got more guilt and shame, and it's just a spiraling cycle. But there is something about sexual addiction, especially when there's multiple partners and everything else that goes with that, that there is a bondage that is such a spiritual – and, of course, alcohol and drugs is already there. But there are individuals who will quit their alcohol or drugs, but they will not quit that sexual addiction. Is that true?
Wow, I'm so glad you mentioned, because that is so true. In fact, you know, alcohol and drugs, eventually you get caught on that.
But right.
The sexual addiction, you can still keep that relatively secret, and which is, you know, ultimately it's not a secret.
Right,
but,
right.
But it is one that, again, particularly I think the earlier the experience is, sometimes the longer it seems to stay with you, and there's still hope, but there is a strong bond to that sexual acting out as a stress reliever, as self-medicating, and when you feel bad, you feel anger, you feel hurt, it's your way of dealing with emotions.
Yeah, and you said, you know, that normally it'll get exposed like everything else, and here's the sad part about it, just like any other type of addiction. Normally, it goes further than you ever planned, and then there's consequences, And for sex addicts, it could be more than losing a job. It could be, you know, a sex offender that is marked for the rest of their life. And again, there's hope, and we're going to be talking this in a little bit about there's hope. But part about this show is if somebody is struggling with it, with addiction to sexual things, we're trying to let them know, hey, don't go too far with this. Maybe you just got into some pornography. Maybe you got into a chat line that you shouldn't have. Maybe you called the toll-free numbers, the sex lines.
Yeah.
Is stop now before it gets too far. Stop now.
And go ahead. Be big enough to say, you know what, this has got me. I need to get some help. I don't want to lose my marriage, my job, my life. And you can do that. You can say, this is enough. Enough's enough.
Yeah. Now, you said something that I want to talk about. We're going to talk about on the air. Most Christians, again, want to talk about it. Most people want to talk about it on the air. You brought up two or three times about masturbation, and there's some debates about that. I have some strong opinions about it, just even from my own experience in the past as a young boy.
Yeah.
Why do you keep bringing that up? We're not going to get into the debate if the Bible talks about it as a sin or not, but obviously you see that as a serious issue. Can you just address that issue?
Yes. Of interest to us all, some of the more recent brain research on masturbation and early adolescence and what we might call a tweener and preteen who may be early masturbation, when the brain is still developing and we begin to develop a pattern of masturbation, we begin to create cravings and alter the brain chemistry. Now, this is shown in brain, what we call brain imaging. And so this early on, you know, it's normal. We're human beings.
Right.
You get to know. But what I'm talking about is a pattern early on and a focus on masturbation that really crosses the line and it becomes addictive early on. The brain is still developing and you're changing chemistries in the brain.
And we're not talking about, again, you grow up as a young boy, especially, you know, there's exploring and everything that goes on with that. We're talking about, again, where it becomes an addictive behavior, where it becomes, I've worked with gentlemen that are old. I mean, you're talking about older gentlemen that it has become an addiction all their life. It is something that even being married, some people say when I get married, that'll stop. And the reality is, it's just like saying if I get married, drinking is going to stop. Marriage doesn't solve lust. Marriage won't. In fact, some individuals have more lust once they get married because there's more temptation of the enemy coming there trying to destroy marriages and everything else. And so, you know, the area of masturbation, what we're really talking about is where it becomes an addictive behavior, and there's things that are occurring that's why you have individuals that even in a public area will masturbate because it's become such a strong addiction.
You know, this is you're so right on what you're saying, and. We don't like to say addict or sexual addict. Some people like to say, well, you know, I've always had a high sex drive.
Yeah.
You know what? That's just not right.
So you're nicer than me. I shoot from the hip. You're a little bit more softer and nicer, so that's why we have you on the air.
You know, it's not a high sex drive. We're all human beings. We all have sex drives, and God made us this way. But you cannot... make excuses for inappropriate behavior.
Right. Well, I want to jump to, I mean, the time's just going by. It's just amazing how the time flies. I want to jump into something else that was in your book, Too Close to the Flame, that, again, I want to look at some of the preventions, because I believe where sexual addiction a lot of times starts is not only in the masturbation, the pornography, but it's sexualized relationships. It's getting into unhealthy relationships. And, of course, what happens is, because it's sexualized, you conquer one, you want to go to the other, or whatever that may be going on. But there's a concept that you said about what I call setting boundaries in your life to protect you from getting into sexualized relationships, which can lead to sexual addiction. And there's some concepts you share. You talk about tongue control, hand control, eye control, foot control, heart control. And we're not going to have time to cover all those, but can you just take a couple minutes in those concepts from your book, The Too Close to the Flame, about... What are you meaning by that of how you can practice those things, hand control, eye control? What is that all about?
Well, you know, eye control, you may see something that's an intrusion that comes your way. It's a billboard. It's coming on the computer. It's a person in real life that's really dressed inappropriately, and it's an intrusion. It came your way. Well, you have a choice. That's mind control. Mm-hmm. I can dwell on that. I mean, I'm going to see it.
Right.
It's going to be there. How long am I going to allow that to consume my thoughts? And that takes practice.
Right.
Practice. So that's mind control, thought control. And I need to have a game plan for how am I going to keep my thoughts clean. The other piece, you know, because then I can enter over into fantasy. The more I spend in fantasy, the more I'm probably going to act out.
Right. Now, what about this go with tongue control? What in the world do you mean by that?
Oh, tongue control. What we say out loud matters. And if I say, ooh, you know, she's hot or something, and I'm verbalizing, I'm saying it, believe me, that's not helpful.
Yeah, that's not helpful. Now, along with that would be when we talk about sexual relationships, that's where you make comments.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about flirtation in the book and, oh, it's just innocent flirtation. We're just having some fun. And yet those words out of your tongue, out of your mouth could set you up.
You know, set you up, and we can't just say I'm having fun. It's just my title of the book is Too Close to the Flame. I mean, how close are you going to get to the flame and play with this fire until you really get burned bad?
Right.
You can play the game, but eventually, you know what? It's going to burn you.
Well, one other one, and that's foot control. What do you mean by that, foot control?
Well, where you go. You know, some people go, you know what? I don't go in these strip clubs. I don't go places like that. Well, where do you go? Well, you know, I like to go to the casino, and I like to look and go, you know, alcohol, gambling, women, sex. There's a lot of sexualization in the casino. No, you know, so you got to get out of this now. No, where are you taking? Where are your feet taking you?
You go to the mall.
Well, for example,
especially at summertime. Why is it you don't want to go in the wintertime? Why is it you want to go to the mall in the summertime?
You know, I enjoy walking on these beaches in the summer, you know. Yeah. So, be honest with yourself about what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys is being honest with yourself about what you're doing, realizing that we're human beings, we have a fallen nature, all of us are susceptible to the dots of lust, that we're not talking about those dots that come your way that can, you know, you can be doing something totally innocent, those dots come. It's a matter of what you do with it, and I think men at times have a lot harder time of that and more of a struggle in it, but we have a choice of what we're going to do. It is a battle. It's a battle of the mind. I would be the first to say that. Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want you to give some hope. As we finish our interview with you, you need to share how a person can have hope and victory.
You got it.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover.
So welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to There Is Hope. Well, we have Dr. Jans. He is from the center. Is anything that can be a secret addiction and there's more shame, guilt, embarrassment that can come is from sexual addiction.
Yeah.
And out of that, many will not get help. They're afraid to get help because of the embarrassment and the shame that comes with it. But they're at the center. You believe that there is hope, that there is an answer. Why don't you just share a little bit about how you feel about the hope that there is to get out of sexual addiction?
Well, I was thinking of a gentleman that was with us recently, and I believe he's in his early 60s. And he said his whole adult life and teenage life, he struggled with lust. And he struggled with it, and it consumed him. He said he never tipped over where he would have an affair or actual affair, but always struggled with lust. He said, and then he said he had to change, or he found that he had to put the scripture so deep in his life, and that he would begin to live differently through God's word. And he would carry around 3x5 cards of certain scriptures on him, and he would just work on the retraining of his mind. And I think something deep inside his heart began to happen, because we know that this brain chemistry, he began to change old brain chemistry and neural pathways in his brain using God's word. And it was quite fascinating, because he was one that had a really addicted brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw before and after photographs of what his his brain looked like through this brain imaging. And I think it took him, 6 months of just really working on this, saying, I'm not going to be defeated by this. I'm going to have victory. And you know what? He's in his 60s, and he's the happiest guy I've ever seen.
And I said how old of individuals you get, and here's an individual 60 years old. And, and you know, we've talked about eating disorders, and you talked about different clients you've had that had eating disorders for years and years, you know, destroyed their teeth, their body, and everything else.
That's right.
Yet their life is turned around, and they will say, it may have taken me years. Yes, I wish I would have got help earlier. But they will say that in spite of 50 years, 60 years of my life being wasted, that there is a difference. And within a few months of working out, of doing recovery the way it should be, can make all the difference in the world.
And they say, you know what? It was so worth it. It's so worth it. I'm so glad I walked through it. I walked through the valley. I kept doing it. And my life is different now. So I got to say, you know what? That was encouraging because you can have victory. And there is victory. And it can be in pretty deep.
Yeah.
And it can be a pretty black place for you right now. And you know what? The enemy wants you to feel like you're never gonna make it.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say something for those who are listening, and those who have listened to us over the several months. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who listen know that. But I'm also one who believes that people have to start where they're at. When it comes to alcohol and drugs, there's plenty of treatment centers out there that are not faith-based, and they're able to help individuals. There's AA. It's not faith-based. They're able to help individuals. And they all of those programs normally get people look at a higher power, and they say you can be whatever you want it to be. And I say on the air, I believe it's Jesus Christ. He is the higher power.
Yeah.
And I know you're a faith-based program. You take individuals, though, that are not Christians, that have no faith at all. Josh, who we talked about earlier, he believed that maybe there was a God, but he had no faith whatsoever. And yet his life was turned around, and he's, you know, reads the Bible. His life is continuously growing. He's saying, I have a spiritual enlightenment that I didn't have because of the sinner. But, you know, you took him regardless of where he was at. But I have to say that on sexual addiction, I personally believe, I don't know, you know, again, you'll take people that, you know, don't necessarily believe in the Bible, but it is one addiction that I believe that without God and without the scriptures to renew your mind, because of our society, there are many, you know, AA is you can get clean but sleep around with women. And you got drug counselors who are having illicit affairs and pornography, but they're counseling, not you. I'm not saying the sinner.
Right,
you better
right,
not.
Right.
You'll fire them if that was the case.
Right, right.
But overall, I mean, drug treatment centers, they'll have that. They don't really think the sexual thing. And so I personally believe that if a person's going to get help, it has to be through a church that's a Bible-believing church that believes in the power of God and the Word of God. And it has to be an counseling agency like yours that says, you know, we're going to use the Word of God to help you get free. Is that pretty accurate?
That's accurate. You know what? And that's just why the sexual addiction, there's a spiritual side to it. There's a spiritual battlefield that people don't recognize that's going on. And because this is an area that, you know, really, truly, enemy can have such a stronghold. You may be totally belong to that or not even understand what's going on.
Right. You could be a quote, spiritually dead individual as far as no relationship with God or Jesus and not believe in a devil or anything else. And yet, there is a spiritual bondage that is there. And if a person really is going to get free, they're going to have to be willing to look at that side. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
Now,
you got it.
Now, in the midst of this, that at the center, we only have just a couple minutes here left in the interview with you before we cover a couple other topics. But I wanted to ask you on the center, you do the whole person approach. So you're addressing the physical, the emotional, the racial, nutritional, everything. You're addressing that. What would be, and you do the spiritual side, what would you be, would you say, as those who are listening, you know, I have some favor towards you because I just believe so much in what you're doing, but what makes you kind of unique in this area when it comes to sexual addiction? Why would somebody consider going to the center than maybe some other places that are out there?
Well, one is we're going to address it from the whole person. We're not going to say, you know what, you're bad because you're in this, because you know what, nobody ever planned on being a sex addict.
Right.
You know, but it got you. And also, we want to stay with you until you are walking in victory. So we want to walk with you, and we also, if it's male we're going to put you with experts in this area. If it's female, you know, it's going to be designed for you.
Right, right.
So, yeah, you're not just going to sit in a bunch of groups and look for a higher power. No, you need more than that.
You need more than that. And I want to emphasize something that you said that I believe comes with the Christian principles. There is enough shame and guilt with any addiction, especially with sexual addiction. What a person doesn't need is to go to counseling where there's going to be shame and guilt put on them and embarrassment. And most people, that's probably part of why they got into it, is because some experience happened to them years ago, and shame and guilt was there, and they just acted out to deal with that shame and guilt. So you're given a message that you're loved, you're accepted, but you're going to speak the truth, and so you're going to address issues. If it's an issue of homosexuality, that person has been involved in that, you're going to address that issue.
You're loved and you're accepted, but you know what? We've got to get to the core issues. What's going on inside? What are you medicating in your life with this? Where's the pain? And let's resolve that. And let's be big enough to admit, you know, this is really out of order. I've got to face some things. And maybe it's going to seem kind of scary to face.
Yes, yes. And again, I think the other reason the center is just the fact that you are looking at Jesus Christ is that higher power, and he's not one of the higher powers. He is the higher power that is there to give individuals strength and power, to give them to be able to have the grace of God. You know, I mean, so many people say grace is unmerited favor, which it is, but it's more than that. Grace is the power to walk in victory, and God wants to give individuals the grace, the ability to walk in victory, regardless of the addiction, no matter what type of addiction, no matter how long a person's been in it. And that's even if an individual is so caught up in it that it's caused them to get labeled sex offender, whatever, that you believe there's hope for sex offenders.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And Jesus is our hope. And there is, you know, a sex offender, my goodness, you know, it is... It can be a really dark place.
Really dark place.
Yes, yes.
And yet there's ways. Now, is it hard? Absolutely. And so, you know, as we end this interview, I want to say that, especially for sex offenders, I work with them. We can't provide them housing because it just doesn't work out with our program. I know it's very hard for them. I've worked with many individuals. There's a lot of consequences from it. Doesn't mean it's impossible to get on the other side. We have a gentleman in the church in our church, that was a sex offender. You look his name up, you'll never will find anything on him because he did what he needed to do. It took him 10, 12 years, but his record is totally clean. He's living a godly, moral life. He is an individual that's life has been dramatically changed by the power of Jesus Christ, but he had to pay a price, and he had to jump through 10,000 hoops to get there, but he did it. And some of you listening saying, well, I just don't want to get through those hoops. Well, then you really don't want to get free. If you get free, there's some things you're going to have to do, but you can get free. And I just believe that. I want to tell you, Dr. Janz, thank you so much for being on the air with us.
You got it. Thank you for having me. And be bold and courageous. You can do this.
Amen.
We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover after this. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information or for a no-cost consultation, call the Center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
Welcome back. This is your radio host, Richard Dover. We just finished an interview with Dr. Janz. What an exciting interview. Some important information, valuable information, and a message of hope. This show is about There Is Hope. And he has a website, aplaceofhope.com, aplaceofhope.com. He also believes in hope and that there is a way out even through sexual addiction.